Welcome to the Weed Out, where we talk about the nonsense and weed out the bullshit in our backyard. I'm Spencer Fox Peterson, flying solo today, and we're just so happy to have you all back. Thank you for tuning in, as usual, being flexible with us in our work and life. And as always, you can go to our website, www.theweedout.com, where we have all citations for anything that gets mentioned in the episode. We do an episode by episode breakdown. So anything today's episode, links, anything like that that comes up, fret not, you can go to the website and always get those references. You know, we try to make it as easy as possible with our listeners, because we just want everybody to see that we're a small community here in Western Mass. And when we have networking and ways to talk to each other, a lot can happen. So in the past, we've had on, you know, union organizers, tenant organizers like Katie Talbot from Neighbor to Neighbor. We've had abolitionists like Laura Saylor from Eastern Mass come on. We've had union leaders from Hadley, Barnes & Noble, and coming up, or hopefully by the time this episode drops, our interview with the spokesperson for the Hadley Trader Joe's will have dropped. So just want to let everybody know, like, what the working class is going through and what we can do to make our communities better and safer and work better for all of us. So without further ado, today's episode, we are so happy to welcome somebody representing Defund Amherst, part of a, you know, we're all a loose coalition of abolitionists that want a better world. And we think prisons are not only a bad thing, but they play a role in the recurring atrocities that occur to the marginalized and the working class writ large. So today we have an organizer named Bertie Newman. She is a student at Mount Holyoke and part of Defund Amherst. So we're so happy to have you all on to tell us about what Defund and Amherst is up to, what you're looking forward to do. And I guess just the first question is, how are you today?
I am good. It is rainy, and I would say everyone here is a little sleepy, but we're good. What about you?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, this is definitely classic fall New England day.
Oh, yeah.
Having to be out in the sweatpants and sweatshirt, and you're just kind of damp all day. But it's not too bad, because at least it's not a million degrees and it's not totally freezing yet. So I'll take it.
I agree. Yeah, that first week of like September when it just was broiling, that was not good. I like this much better.
Right. You know, I mean, we had kids having to get out of school early because the heat was too much for the AC, or they didn't have AC in the school. So kids going home. I'm sure classes at some buildings. I mean, I went to UMass, so I remember some of those buildings not being quite equipped to deal with the weather. So
yeah,
imagine what people in school and workplaces went through. I mean, I was out in it, so I was fortunate it wasn't that bad. I was in an air-conditioned truck, so nice. It wasn't. I got to enjoy the sunshine while it was really hot. But these rainy winter-like days remind you of a change of seasons, which is nice. So please tell us about Defund 413. When, like, who are y'all, and when did this all start getting rolling?
Yes. Okay. So we are a small organization based in Amherst. I joined after the organization began. My understanding is that we convened after the murder of George Floyd, when there was a lot of sort of eagerness and mobilization around abolition and around defunding the police. Our key goal is to get money out of the Amherst police force. And as we do that, we hope to center our effort around the needs, input, and experiences of BIPOC and other directly affected communities. BIPOC is Black, Indigenous, and people of color. So we're talking about folks who often have negative experiences with policing. We want to work toward abolition more broadly, that's abolition of prisons and policing, by building relationships and reallocating resources across Western Massachusetts. So getting in touch with other people and organizations and getting the word out. We are also hoping to build community trust, engaging with Amherst residents and people who work and study there to build a community where we trust each other and people don't see a need for a militarized police force.
Wow, that was really well said and succinct, and I appreciate that, because I tend to get long-winded. I get galaxy brain when I talk about it because it's all connected. You feel like a crazy person.
No, totally.
It's all connected. And, you know, this didn't happen in Amherst, but right down the street last spring, but it came out in August that a working class person from Holyoke, Marisol, was assaulted by the Northampton police. And places like Amherst, places like Northampton, who have a progressive label and in some ways are progressive, but in many ways are still the same old guard, the same old, you know, New England, old timey systemic racism, I guess is the really blunt way of saying it and truthful way. And, you know, a place like Northampton a couple years ago, they had, I'll beat this to death, so this is not the first time I mentioned on the show, they actually touted to the Valley Advocate, that magazine that was out around that time, that was out for a long time. I don't think they're around anymore, but they touted that 66% of their arrests slash interactions with the public were not residents of Northampton. So they were like flexing that they were a sundown town.
Ooh.
You know, like flexing, wow. All of the people that come that we have to end up arresting, we're from out of town anyways. We're not targeting our citizens. And it's like, so what you're saying is it's okay because we're doing it from people out of town. And that's
wow. What, wait, yeah. Will you remind me what the expression sundown town means?
So sundown town is basically, it's not safe to be there after sundown.
Oh, wow.
Specifically Black people in America. And like back in the day when people had roadmaps, even the Black community had, I think they were called green maps. It was something like that. And it was basically like, here's a list of places you just keep driving. You don't stop for gas before the sun goes down because you're not supposed to be around these parts after dark. You know what I mean? Because it was like segregated towns where Black people were only be in town to work. So if they were there after hours, they were shift. So in Massachusetts, these things still exist. We just, in our progressive neoliberal way, we look the other way on a lot of it. Like Joanna shared this in the past. Montague, for example, is considered a sundown town. And it's like, all, you know, you can look at the demographics of like their arrests or tickets, and it's like if it's after a certain time of day, it seems to be they never interact with anything but marginalized people.
Wow.
So anybody listening at home, sundown towns, I mean, it's an old timey thing, but still it doesn't necessarily exist in the same way, because just like all dog whistles, all like racial, like cultural subtext things, it changes and morphs over time. Like right now, like my somebody was pointing out to me that people online are saying well as a dog whistle, like whenever like they see a story about a Black person getting arrested.
Oh, well,
like, of course.
That's interesting.
Morph and change over time how they communicate all these ideas, but essentially it's all like, you don't belong here.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what it kind of sums down to for me. So what in Amherst, there has been some strides. Now they still have their police force, obviously. And then you also have the UMass Police Department, which is a beast on its own. I went to UMass, and that's when they started militarizing UMass. And they used the excuse of the quote unquote riots because kids destroyed campus after like a Red Sox game or some bullshit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're militarized. Even UMass has militarized police. So you have two police forces over there, but y'all have a thing called CRESS. So could you please tell, and when, what role the community played in forming CRESS? Could you tell the audience about CRESS and how it kind of came about?
Yeah, totally. So in 2020 and 2021, there was this town committee called the Community Safety Working Group that did an almost immeasurable amount of work to envision ideas to shift power from policing and build a more just town. And they provided a lot of different recommendations that we might get into later, because I think a lot of them have been largely ignored by the larger town government after that initial committee work. But one thing that has been more followed through than some of their other recommendations is CRESS. That stands for the Community Responders for Equity, Safety, and Service. And that is an active town department now. It is its own department, separate from the fire department, separate from police, working toward public safety in an equitable way. So that is a department of unarmed responders that is built to provide services in nonviolent situations that might otherwise involve police. So it is an alternative to policing. This was a measure approved by our town council in 2022. So it's still pretty new. And they have this really cool twofold goal where not only are they responding to situations as they escalate, they're also trying to do proactive work to meet the needs of people in town in the hopes that then it doesn't escalate to the point where there's like an emergency responder that is needed because people have what they need and they're not in conflict with each other in the same way.
How has the community responded to CRESS?
It's a really good question. I know CRESS has done a lot of outreach of opportunities to like meet the members and the director. I'm not sure I have a good sense of how like different segments of the town are experiencing CRESS. I know sort of in my circles, there's a lot of frustration of CRESS not being able to do more than they are. So right now they don't have enough funding to operate 24/7, which kind of defeats the point a little bit of being able to respond to emergencies because they're not always available. They just don't have the money for that. But I think still, even though they don't necessarily have the resources to do everything I hope they would be doing, they've been incredibly active in town and proactive, like finding people who need stuff every day and like following up with them. So it's not just like one and done, they're interacting with somebody. And I think that's helped build trust, at least among some members of the town.
I mean, that's great news, but also very typical and disheartening. Like, for example, in Northampton, the budget they gave them to initially get set up and off the ground was half of what was deemed would be necessary. So it's like they kind of get best of both worlds. They get to say they did it, you know, the people in charge, whether every town's different how their power and decision making is structured. So they get to say, oh, we did something, but you know, the police still have the right of way or whatever, like they can go if we're not available type of stuff. And then, like you said, it defeats the point. If you don't have enough money to even staff it 24/7, like what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah.
It's important to get the wins because in a place like Holyoke, we're so far away from getting that as far as even as a discussion about like a non-emergency response unit that's completely independent of the police. We are so far from that conversation because even the people, the marginalized and working class folk in the poorest areas, they do want police because they are genuinely afraid because people do get shot. People do, like, these things are real to them. And yeah, fortunately we're inundated with things like propaganda and kind of told this is the only tool that exists. So how do we convince people that there's other tools out there? So I always say it's really important to see towns like Amherst, Northampton, get these programs going because then we can point to them. Look, they're doing something different. We can do that here too. You know, so yeah, it's important that places like Northampton and Amherst, though it may seem small and insignificant compared to like NYPD, LAPD, and all those things. I mean, you could change a place like Holyoke or Pittsfield or Greenfield for the better, you know? So
yeah,
kudos to y'all organizing for that. And I'm glad that your community is somewhat supportive of it. That gives me some hope. So
totally. No, me too.
And what, so does, with, there's other elections coming up in Amherst this fall?
Yes, there are.
Do you feel like you're up to talking about any?
Oh yeah,
hear your take, because I will admittedly say I don't know much about Amherst politics other than I went to college there, so I don't know much.
No, totally.
Talk to me like,
yeah. Talk to you like what?
Like I'm five.
Oh, will do. Okay, no, I feel like that's a good way to think about elections and start from the base. So we do have, I think our, can't remember if biannual is the one that's like twice a year or once every 2 years. We have the type of election coming up that's once every 2 years. So it's a big deal. It doesn't happen a lot. And that is, let me pull up my information about this. This is Tuesday, November 7th, with early voting starting on Monday, October 30th. Before I get into like candidates, if anyone needs information about how to register to vote, what your polling place is, when you go, how it all works, Amherst has a part of their website at the URL amherstmad.gov/81/voter-information. And Spencer, I'm assuming you can put that up on your website maybe so people can see it.
Absolutely. We'll do.
Amazing. Thank you. And that has like all the logistical information you need. In terms of candidates, Defund 413 Amherst is working toward endorsements of specific town council candidates that we believe will be making the progressive changes and fighting for anti-racism in the way that Amherst needs. We are still solidifying those. Some people we are already in support of are Allegra Clark and Amber Connaught Martin in District 2 and Alicia Walker, who is an at-large counselor currently running for re-election.
And they're in support of doing something about police, I take it. at least building up an alternative to policing. I mean, kind of taking on policing, I'm a hardliner. I think we should abolish it. But everybody, I understand that the world does not, I'm not a totalitarian leader, so I don't get my way. So some people, you got to show them with other things. So we got to be, even if politicians are afraid to say or can't say or don't believe it that police should be abolished, are they open to building up a different system for specific things?
Yeah, my understanding, I would want to like, I don't know, before like publicizing the views of these candidates, I would want to make sure I understand them well, but I think that all of those folks would at least be in support of like the continuation of CRESS and like building that up as an alternative service.
It is the little, unfortunately, it's sometimes just moving the ball forward, little policy movements at a time. It's hard work. It's discouraging at times, but unfortunately that is the way things go. There is no magic in the world. I wish it were the case, but change is hard.
No, totally. Yeah. And these are bold candidates. These are people I'm really, really excited to. I can't vote for the District 2 people. It's not my district, but Alicia Walker, I'm really excited to vote for her in November.
Yeah, I believe I've seen them on Instagram.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I believe they've seen them on Instagram. I don't know exactly. I'm definitely we should vote. Everybody should participate. But I definitely believe that we got to have alternatives outside the system to build community, because we're all so isolated, so separated from one another. We're all busy with work or paying the bills and then the rent is going up and the mortgage rates are going up and all that stuff. And it's just, it's really important. But, everybody, please, every tool matters, including voting, even if it's not the prettiest, the sexiest, it's still one of many tools we have to use. So I appreciate you having some information for our listeners about Amherst folk. Is there anything that's like, is there any questions on the ballot or anything like that that you're aware of about town policy?
Not that I'm aware of, but I could be wrong. I will definitely know by the time I'm voting. So I'm like ready to vote for what counts and what matters to me. As of now, I'm not aware of any ballot questions.
Right. Well, I haven't seen any either. And I know in Holyoke, we have a few. We're going to do a different episode. We'll get into the Holyoke questions.
Wow. I'll be excited to see.
Or even if the debate, just a nerd out, the debate is about if the question can even be on this ballot or if it has to be on the presidential ballot because of wider, participation in those elections. So there's like a whole debate. So I think that's being settled this week, the first week of October. So, and then we'll know if it's on the ballot. So yeah, we're getting into that time of year where all these things are being questioned and trying to figure out what the fuck we're doing. But, so what is Defund Amherst, and like how many people are in this kind of coalition of folk?
There's, I would say, a fairly broad following. Like people are in touch on our Instagram and like are communicative in our email list. at a meeting, we meet on Tuesdays over Zoom, not super consistently every Tuesday, but we have like a Slack channel where we're communicating with each other. Honestly, it's been sparse. People are swamped. I would say there's usually like two of us at a meeting. But between, you know, the folks who come working really hard and support from other people, even if they can't make it to that Zoom meeting, I'm impressed by the things we can do.
So anybody listening at home, if you're in the Amherst area, and you're looking to organize with like-minded folk, specifically on defunding and what goes along with abolishing the police eventually, is coalition building and getting out there and talking to each other. It's as simple as that. So definitely hit them up on social media. We'll share the links. Do you know the handles off the top of your head?
I would say best place to go first is Instagram. Our handle is defund413amherst. I don't think there's like spaces or underscores in that. And from there we have like a link tree where you can find our Slack channel and our meeting agendas, as well as like, I would say every like couple of days we would make sure to go through DM. So if you can't find something you're looking for, you could send us a direct message and we would eventually get to that.
Yeah. So anybody listening at home, please, you know, the if it's not defund Amherst because you don't live anywhere near Amherst, you know, there's plenty of like-minded folk. And if you ever have any questions, you can reach out to Joanna or I at the Weed Out through DM, or you can email us at theweedout@gmail.com. We're always more than happy to connect people and help network. You know, this, like I was saying before we started recording with Birdie here, you know, we're not doing this for clicks. You know, we're just trying to build a network of people, you know, that have like values. We're very separated, so we have to somehow get in touch with one another. So I just really appreciate people giving their time to come on and talk to us. So, you know, maybe somebody will link up with y'all and find a place where they can feel like they're making the community a better place. So, you know, I guess I could talk to you about abolition all day. I could talk to anybody about abolition and defunding the militarized police. But do you have anything you'd like to shout out before we wrap it up for the day?
That's a really good question. Is this okay? You've been talking earlier about like a call to action. Is this where that would come in?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So there would be a lot more to talk about, but a couple of things I want to emphasize that listeners can do. Number one, make sure you're registered to vote and show up to those elections. You can watch our Instagram for our official candidate endorsements. And then another thing that, for me, it's a little bit hard to talk about effectively just because there's not a lot of information around it. But our director of CREST right now, Earl Miller, is on administrative leave, and we're trying to get information about what's going on with that. So get an efficient investigation going so that we can move permanent leadership forward in that organization. And there's also a situation where current CREST oversight, right, in lieu of this person being on leave, is including police. So it's supposed to be a separate department that provides an alternative to policing. So having a member of the police force in the leadership for that, we're very concerned that that will affect their ability to carry out their mission. So community members have been asking instead for one of the current CREST responders who work incredibly hard, who are out in the community talking to people, carrying out the work of CREST, to be promoted to do that leadership work. The other thing more largely is that there's a committee in town called the Community Services and Social Justice Committee that should be in charge of what happens with CREST, because they are moving forward the work of that prior committee, the Community Safety Working Group. There's like a million groups, a million acronyms. But I would also hope for them to be empowered in this sort of like transitional phase of CREST leadership right now.
Okay. Well, just like, the cops can't get their dirty mitts off nothing. I guess that's like, I'm not shocked, not shocked at all that that's already an issue. But yeah, I mean, so anybody listening at home, if you want to possibly do some public records requests, ask some questions to some sitting members of council, it takes all of us to kind of come in from different angles and paper cuts. So if you like doing records requests, anybody listening, this might be a good question to ask. But also reach out to the folks at Defund 413 and Amherst, and maybe we can crowdsource and figure out a solution here. So
totally.
Please, this is something that no matter what we do, when we abolish harmful systems, there still needs to be oversight, because we still live in a system that is, corruption is a feature. So and malfeasance will happen because people are people. So like, the work doesn't just winning and even getting a department like this, it doesn't stop there, you know, like, it's just a continuing thing. We need community engagement, community.
Yeah.
So that's why it's really important to get the word out about this. So it's not all great. And you do have an important thing to say and call to action, because obviously this needs to be figured out. And we do need to get the, you know, the person that is tied to the police department should probably not have any influence over the department that's supposed to be independent.
I really agree. Yeah. And like write your town councilors, because it'll show them that we're watching how CRESS is executed and making sure that they stick to their original mission. That is so important and so what we need for our town.
Absolutely. And this goes, just remember, if you live in Amherst, and even if you're not a homeowner or a taxpayer, you are a taxpayer, because if you go to college in Amherst, you're paying rent, and your rent is paying your landlord taxes. So, you know, college kids, you have a voice. You can go. What are you guys doing on a Wednesday evening, or whenever the Amherst Council meets? Going on Zoom, make your voice heard. Be like, hey, you know, when somebody's wasted because they drank too much, I don't necessarily want them dealing with the cops. I'd rather them deal with somebody that's not going to escalate the situation and possibly get them kicked out of school. We need to deal with the problem. You know, I went to UMass. Like, how many kids do I know that lost all their investment into UMass 3-4 semesters in because they got caught being a fuckhead, wasted, and like did something, you know, like threw a brick through a window or something when they were drunk, just property damage, whatever. But it like ruined their fucking life.
Oh, man.
But, you know, we could have somebody that's trained in intervening with somebody in a dire circumstance that's abusing drugs. You know.
Yeah.
Community can deal with it, you know. So this is important for those that feel that they're just there intermittently and they're only there for 4 years. Y'all have a voice too, because this affects you, and this is who
it does
against, unfortunately, like students. It's easy scapegoat.
Yeah,
you're the people going to college to better themselves or to educate and learn more. They, you know, we got to do better for them. And that seems like a first world privilege thing to say, but it's not. I mean, it's everybody, nobody should be possibly beaten up because they're too drunk by the cops. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to end that way. Ask any part. It doesn't have to.
Yeah, end. Seriously.
It just has to end with me getting you home. So anyways, Birdie, I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about Defund 413 and what's going on in your community, because that's really the thing we want people that live in the Amherst area that happen to listen to the show, you know, to a platform to know that what other people are saying, and they're not just getting it from the Hampshire Gazette or wherever. We're hearing it from the people on the street level. So I really appreciate your time. And you ever have anything you need to promote, platform, get out there, call to action, please. You have our full support and access to our platform. We're more than happy to help. So
thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Of course. And you're always welcome to give us a shout if you have something to share, and we can have you back on.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. And have a good rest of your day.
Have a great rest of your day. See you around.
Thank you so much to Birdie Newman of Defund 413 Amherst. It's really good to hear some good news, but also the mixed bag that comes along with building new infrastructure. You know, corruption and mistakes and malfeasance will happen regardless. So it's good to remind everybody, just because you get the wins doesn't mean the work stops. Community involvement means exactly that, community involvement. So if in the Amherst area, I highly recommend organizing with groups like 413, Defund 413 Amherst, because they have values that are pushing for a better future. And that's how we figure it out. You know, we don't have all the answers, but we got to try. We got to try something different. So thank you very much to the folks over at Defund 413. And we will post all the links to get in touch with them. And, you know, remember, it is election season in Massachusetts. It is happening. So get informed. It's not the only tool, but it's a tool. We must use it if we can. And if you have any questions or you need to meet anybody that is in this space, whether it's worker organizing, political organizing, abolition work, defunding the police, what have you, feel free to reach out to Joanne and I at theweedout@gmail.com or on the social media DMs. We try to stay on top of it. So if you have any questions or you're looking for people to connect with, we will do our best to help network you, because here at the Weed Out, we are a platform and a network. We are trying to network everybody, because a community that grows and stays together is a community worth working for. So we just want a better place for our fellow working class people to live. So thank you very much for listening to The Weed Out. And, you know, it wouldn't be an episode of The Weed Out with or without Joanna, without Ghoulery and Tomfoolery. Burr, 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 burr. So, yeah, we're going to do Ghoulery and Tomfoolery as always this week. And this one, you know, I actually have I have some firsthand knowledge on this whole Ghoulery and Tomfoolery. So, as always, WWLP, our wonderful Western Mass broadcast news, is doing some stenography for the Mass State Police, painting them in a very positive light. So last Friday, September 22nd, 2023, we had an incident on 91 North around the mile 18 marker where the police tried to pull somebody over, and they had some outstanding warrants or something, but they took off and clipped the officer, quote unquote, dragged him. Now, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll know that we share a lot of content about propaganda and how they exaggerate these things and how dangerous it really is. So cops should not be making traffic stops, especially on a place like a major interstate like 91, because there's no safe place to actually do this. Even if you're broken down, it's a dangerous place to fucking be. Even on the other side of the guardrail, even in the places you're designated to go, it's still dangerous. You could still get hurt. People are fucking going fast. It's designed to go fast. So an officer of the law, Massachusetts State Police, pulled somebody over in a really dangerous place. And I'll just read the blurb. A grief-filled man is in police custody following a manhunt that began after he hit and dragged a state trooper in Holyoke, injuring that officer. Just so everybody knows, he went home. He's fine. According to state police, around 3 p.m. Friday, a trooper attempted to stop a vehicle on I-91 North, the Holyoke rest area, around mile 18 for those that are familiar with the area. It's a nice little overlook. I drive for a living, so I am familiar with all these spots, and this is my regular route. So the trooper was injured, and he's been taken to the hospital. Yada, yada, yada. He's fine. The vehicle crashed further up the road, but the suspect ran into the woods. Traffic was redirected in the area where the crash has occurred for hours. So if anybody knows that stretch of 91 between Holyoke and Northampton, there's only one road or one set of roads. There's Route 5 and 91, and there's no exits. It's a mess if you get stuck in traffic there. It's narrow. It goes down the side of the mountain between Mount Tom and the Connecticut River. Is really only one way in and one way out on either side of these roads. So you can't really redirect traffic. Now, I was working and they were out in force. There was Mass State Police marked, unmarked, local Holyoke, Northampton, East Hampton cops marked and unmarked. There was looked like some sort of federal agents too. So basically, like, everybody got involved, and they use this as an excuse. One of their brothers was hurt. And they deployed all the stuff. These cops were fucking, they were crawling air. Had been 100 cops all in this like 5 mile stretch. And they're zipping in and out of traffic. I'm sitting at a standstill for like an hour with everybody. So they know who this person is. And they spend all his resources to tie up the local traffic and cause chaos just so they can get their little prize, their little trophy of the person that wronged them. Well, first of all, they shouldn't have been pulled over. And if this person has an outstanding warrant, we know where they are. All right. So we should go find them there. This doesn't have to be done on a dangerous stretch of road. It just doesn't have to happen. Nothing is that fucking important. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. This is a preventative measure. Pulling people over for minor traffic infractions and or equipment violations will only lead to fines, which only hurt the poor, and or you getting dragged out of your car and possibly getting hurt, shot, killed, run over, whatever, hit by a train. That's real. That happened recently. And the officers also create the danger for themselves. So their training tells them to create a dangerous situation by stopping somebody on a busy road that is meant for high-speed travel. It's a really dumb fucking thing. It's a self-fulfilling, dangerous thing where they get to act like the victim because they are the victim. Somebody did get hurt because somebody was scared, did not want to get dragged into the back of a police car, regardless of why, regardless of having a warrant. I don't really give a shit, to be completely honest with you. We do not need to handle it right then and there. We just don't. So they fucked up traffic. I drove back, switched back into my personal vehicle and had to go back through it. So I knew this was all happening because I could follow on Twitter, and I had, you know, Joanna call me and tell me what was going on her end while I was driving. And we kind of figured out, and the whole time we're like, they're going to fucking kill this guy if they catch him. They didn't, thankfully. They took him in. I'm sure he's in pretrial because he's a danger. Now, the reason this is ghoulery and tomfoolery is because now they have articles about the dangers of cops on traffic stops. First of all, being a pizza delivery driver is twice as more dangerous than a cop, and they don't even have a weapon. A lot of the danger cops are created by the fact that they show up militarized. Puts people on edge, makes people make bad decisions, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I am saying, what were you wearing? That's the rare time it's okay to ask somebody what they were wearing when they were assaulted. If you're dressed like a paramilitary goon to enforce fucking traffic, like, dude, you're a loser, first of all. It's just loser behavior. You're dressed like you're invading a foreign fucking country. It's your own fucking neighborhood. You're disgusting. So fuck you. Ghoulery and tomfoolery. Now the fucking local news is going to lecture on us how dangerous their jobs are. Listen, that danger is created by them. That's why it's ghoulery and tomfoolery. Abolish traffic stops. Just stop it. Stop it. And, you know, we can have a discussion about how to enforce this. But you know what doesn't work? The way we currently fucking do it. So literally when somebody says, what's your solution? Well, literally not this. So can we stop doing this? And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. Doesn't matter. It's ghoulery and tomfoolery because they can't not show force. And the real kick in the balls is they tie up all this traffic on a Friday afternoon in a place like Northampton, where we do have nightlife, quote unquote. You know, how many businesses were hurt by this? How many people were an hour late to picking their kid up because of this ridiculous show of force? And how much did this cost us? When they knew who this person was, they did not have to handle it right then and there at the busiest time of day on the roads. Now, how many fender benders I saw on Route 5 on my way back? Three. I saw three. One where the fire department was involved. Another one where an ambulance was involved. So like all this stop and go traffic created by this, which created car accidents and fender benders and property damage, can be looped back to the fact that the police are the main fucking character. They make themselves the main fucking character. Ghoulery, tomfoolery, Mash State Police, shame on you. WWLP, shame on you. East Hampton, Northampton, Holyoke cops acting like you're the fucking main characters, fucking up commerce, fucking up people's days because your fifis are hurt because you did something fucking dangerous by being enforcers on a major throughway. Sorry, no tears for Clash Traders. Fuck y'all. Ghoulery and tomfoolery. That's that for today. So we had a nice guest, Birdie, and I went on a rant after Birdie came on. So you get the honey and the vinegar without Joanna. We miss her. She'll be back in the next episode. And I hope y'all enjoyed our episodes with Katie Talbot in the last couple of weeks, Laura Saylor. And if you haven't listened, please go listen, especially any episodes we're talking with union organizers. Maybe we'll be inspired. Reach out to us. Reach out to them. Let's network. Let's make this community a better place. And let's weed out the fucking bullshit, all right? So, you know, for myself, Joanna, and Spirit, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.